You're listening to Irish Sports Talk. Hello, Notre Dame fans. Welcome to Irish Sports Talk, episode 316. This is our weekly Monday podcast. And so we've got updates from fall camp to talk about. We'll go through the different position groups, what's changed, players that are moving up, players that are maybe disappointing and getting passed up. Before we do that, though, there's a funny video from camp. I did tweet it out, but you definitely should check it out. We'll have it over on the website as well, irishsportstalk.net. But it's an interview between Josh Adams and Montgomery Van Gorder, the walk-on quarterback. And it's funny. It's a short little video, probably about 2 minutes long. But I was chuckling while I was watching it.
Hopefully he finds the humor in not being able to play as much as he lets on in the video.
I think he definitely did. From the way he was talking, I think he gets it.
Yeah, but I like how he ends, the way they end with him being the holder for the place kicking, not knowing who he is. That's a good position for him, so if you don't know who he is already, that's a good thing.
Exactly. And Ral, you saw a t-shirt that fans might want to get for the upcoming game against Texas.
Yes, well, you've all heard the saying, don't mess with Texas. Well, the Notre Dame Texas club designed this shirt that you can actually buy on their website. The website is ndtx16.com, but the front of the shirt says "Messing with Texas since 1913." Then the back, it has all the games, the date of the game, and the scores. And obviously, Notre Dame is winning that matchup 9-2. So definitely, if you're going to be in Texas, get one of those shirts. And I think they will be selling them at the tailgate in Texas before the game, or you can buy them online. But the only thing is, you might want to have somebody with you when you wear that in Texas. You might not want to go out by yourself.
I've heard their fans are pretty insane,
because they might have a six shooter with them.
All right, the winner from last week's Fanny Central giveaway was Pexter24. And it's really simple. All you guys need to do to be entered into that weekly giveaway is to retweet this podcast episode. It'll be episode number 316. We won't announce the winner until Thursday afternoon, so you've got time. If you're listening to this later on in the week, just retweet this episode tweet, and it'll be pinned to the top of our Twitter page, and you'll be entered to win. And what Fanny Essentials is, it is a fan, kind of like a fan gift box. It's a monthly subscription, so you can get new gear delivered to your doorstep every month. And maybe you don't have, maybe you're out of ideas what with a t-shirt or maybe a mug. Maybe you're out of ideas, not sure what to get. Well, they'll automatically send you hand-picked from sports fans of your sports team, hand-picked gear for you to show your sports obsession, as it were. You can also get a discount. If you use promo code Irish Sports Talk without spaces, you get a 15% discount. Normally it's $35 per month, but with that 15% discount, you can get it for under $30. So to be entered to win, just retweet this episode, and we'll announce that winner on this coming Thursday. All right, Randall, let's go ahead and start going through what's been going on, what's been happening at fall camp. Some news on the injuries. Let's get the bad news out of the way first. Mikadu Treadway is out for 8 weeks, and that's a significant issue for the Irish. They've got solid, I think, handful of players, but Brian Kelly said they wanted a rotation of about 4 to 5 guys in the interior defensive line, and he would have been one of those guys that would have been part of that rotation. So that definitely makes them thinner up front, especially when you take into consideration that Brian Kelly said, you know, they're looking at Jerron Jones maybe at 20, 25 snaps per game, which we will get to that. I don't think Jerron Jones was too pleased with that expectation of himself. Nick Watkins had a procedure to stimulate bone growth, and he'll be back in 4 weeks. So, and he will be vying for a starting job once he's back. And as far as there's some minor injuries as well, Daniel Cage, Devin Studstill, Josh Adams had grade one hamstrings, Josh Adams to a lesser degree. Dexter Williams was nicked up a little bit. Folsom had some tendonitis. So just some minor things there. But the hamstrings do worry me because it can, and obviously...
it can be a nagging injury.
Yeah, I mean, no, the staffs are trained and they know what to watch for. But it is still something that might feel good, but it can just suddenly come back.
Yeah, I guess the good news about the injuries, if there's good news about injuries, is that there aren't too many injuries at this point.
Yeah.
I'd say they're doing very good as far as injuries, and they're monitoring it very good with all their GPS and different things, so they know when to sit and when they're good to go. Dexter Williams' injury, Brian Kelly was asked about that, why he wasn't there, and Brian Kelly was told, he just said that he was told he had a boo-boo. So it's at that point in camp. They were obviously at Culver, and they came back within 2 days, and as Brian Kelly said, you know, it's now getting into the mental stage, like how strong you are mentally, because legs are getting tired, the guys are starting to wear down, and this is where I guess guys, you know, the starters can kind of separate themselves from the others with the mental part of the game. So there are, you know, some of these injuries, guys are just starting to wear down.
Just some other things of note from Brian Kelly's last press conference is he does want to get in as many live scrimmages as possible for the sake of the QBs, for the sake of getting some of the other positions figured out who should be the starter. And we'll get into some of the different position battles later on. One issue is red zone issues. They were running red zone drills while the media was watching, and they were not having a whole lot of offensive success. Brian Kelly kind of shrugged it off and said this is all about installment. They're putting in plays for the red zone. These aren't plays they would necessarily run in these same situations.
They were just passing the ball. They were throwing all of them. They didn't try to run the ball, but still you should make some of those passes. I don't care. I mean, they should do better than what they were. Out of like 16 attempts, I think, pass attempts in the red zone, they scored one touchdown.
But if the defense knows and is preparing to guard against the pass.
It was a 7-on-7. It wasn't the...
It wasn't 11-on-11?
No, it was 7-on-7, so you have one-on-one matchups.
Yeah, you're right. It is disappointing. But on the plus side is that maybe that means our defense is doing all right.
Actually that much better.
However, our wide receivers, they have issues. They do it. There are problems in the wide receiver group. Okay. I think we're ready to move on then to the different position groups. Let's start with offense with the quarterbacks. Brian Kelly said, you know, they know what each of the guys can do. I mean, and we've talked about this before, and everyone else has too. Malik kind of thrives off of when plays are breaking down. He makes something happen out of nothing. Deshaun is more the guy who can change the play at the line of scrimmage, can get the right play in. And I want a quarterback who can dictate the defense rather than reacting to the defense and needing something to break down to make a play. I would rather have the offense that dictates and manipulates the defense. However, this whole time, since midway through last season, I've been a believer that Deshaun Kizer is by far the better quarterback. I'm not so convinced anymore. I'm backing way off of that, and I'm pretty much to the point where I would choose Malik to be the starter, partly because of his...
You would pick right now, as of right now on Monday night, you would choose Zaire over Kizer.
I would. And the reason is because of what Zaire does as a leader. Some of the practice reports were that, I mean, he's getting after other players, and we've heard this in the past too, that he gets after guys when they make a mistake. And I like that in a quarterback, when he insists on the players around him playing to a high level, and if a receiver drops a ball or a offensive lineman misses a block or running back does something wrong, he gets after them. I like that about Malik.
Here's the one issue I'm seeing with this quarterback drama is how you mentioned that obviously Kaiser can change the play at the line of scrimmage. Zaire is the one that'll just, you know, when the defense breaks down, he'll make a play. Obviously, the coaches will probably want to go with a guy that can change the plays and do it according to the plan.
Yes.
Then you factor in these red zone issues. And if Kaiser can't get it done with the play that's, you know, scripted, you know, if they have to, they're going to start bringing in Zaire to be the red zone quarterback.
And then like you have your two quarterback. Then you have the two quarterbacks,
and I do not want to play two quarterbacks. As much as I like, I expect Kaiser to be. Kaiser will be the starter, in my opinion. But I'm not going to be have a problem with Zaire starting either. I've been sticking up for Zaire for like 3 years now,
and now we're flipping the script.
But I just want to stay away from the two quarterback system.
I agree with you. I don't want two quarterbacks, and I do want a quarterback that does what the coaches are trying to do. Yeah. I want that too. But the one thing that Zaire does is I think he's a more inspirational leader and can get guys fired up.
The thing that I think
the gap is closing as far as accuracy problems with Malik compared to Zaire. He's still probably, just from reports, he still doesn't do as well at changing the plays at the line of scrimmage and going through the checkdowns like Zaire or like Kaiser does. But I don't know. I'm starting to change my tone.
Here's one thing that you could add to your argument is that the coaches have always said that Zaire is a better player when the lights are on. So do you think at some point they'll factor that in? If the practice is that close, will Zaire get a little bit of an edge because they know he'll play even better on the field?
It could be. And I do think regardless what happens, both quarterbacks will play this season. I'm not saying in the same game, or I'm not saying as part of a plan, but somewhat at some point, especially if it's Zaire, I definitely think he's going to struggle because if he can't get in the right play, and he's not always going to be able to make something happen from a breakdown. And at that point, after a couple mistakes or stalled drives, Kaiser would come in.
See, I think Zaire's more the up and down player.
Totally.
Kaiser is more your consistent, you know what you're going to get. I know we've mentioned it before, but just like the Ohio State, obviously Cardale Jones didn't do that good, but he was drafted, which he shouldn't have been in my opinion. But he was drafted by the NFL, so obviously they see something, he's got talent. But they didn't come together as a team until they put in JT Barrett. Then it was too late to make the playoffs. I honestly think they could have gotten another championship, or they would have easily been in the playoffs if they would have decided that early on and stuck with JT Barrett. And it just, seeing that happen to a good team like that, that cost them, just that, I think, cost them from getting into the playoffs. And I've yet to see a quarterback system that works, two quarterback system that works perfect.
Florida in that, yes, 2006.
Chris Leak and Tim Tebow, but it's a very scary situation. But maybe Notre Dame can be the first team to do it.
I hope not.
I don't want to find out.
I hope we don't need to.
That's one record I don't really want to.
I don't think we'll find out who the starter is until about a week before the game. Do you expect that to change?
No, I expect to be like that just because of past history. The coaches might know right now who would be the starter, but they're going to give him a chance. Just, I don't know if you would call it indecisiveness or what it is, but yeah.
All right, let's move over and talk about wide receivers. This group is still struggling. They're struggling with catching the ball, with being consistent. Pretty much, they're struggling besides Torrey Hunter, the way it sounds. EQ is struggling. Holmes is really struggling. The freshmen are struggling. So, and Brian Kelly said that the core might not be figured out, or he said it won't be figured out by Texas. So this
is a scary comment.
This could be evolving through the first 4 weeks of the season easily.
The one thing I will give EQ a little benefit of the doubt, he is dealing with a hand injury. I don't know if I think I almost think he broke one of his fingers, or there's something with his finger.
It was a sprained thumb.
And so he is a little careful with that hand, and that's why he's having issues catching the ball.
And one thing, even throughout all of these problems with them dropping the balls, they are getting open. So yeah, athletically, they're doing a good job. It's just catching the ball that's been a problem. And some of the practices have been better than some of the other ones. The one practice was really bad, and then the following ones, one was better.
Basically, they just need to be consistent. That's what Brian Kelly said. They're just inconsistent. And he said they show flashes, but they're inconsistent.
At this point, C.J. Sanders, I think, is pretty much locked in at that slot receiver. Corey Holmes, with his problems catching the ball, I think he'll play, but I don't think he's going to get as many snaps as C.J. Sanders.
Yeah, he might have been that spring
and you know player. You know who might get more snaps than Corey Holmes?
Who's that?
The jewel of the spring, Fink.
Oh.
He was, when Brian Kelly was talking about the slot, he was talking about CJ, and then he talked about Fink, but he didn't mention Holmes, Corey Holmes, in that.
Well, everybody and seeing him out there,
and he said that he catches the ball, and he said that he told the other coaches that when he was looking at the data at the end of the day or end of a practice, and he was looking at how many snaps Fink got, he told them that he needs to get more snaps,
and he did. Yeah, he told us that, and he did get more snaps the next day. Brian Kelly said that he's the most, what was the word he used?
Oh, I remember, but...
Shoot, I just had it. But he compared him to Robbie Toma. He said he's Robbie Toma with more speed. And he said he hopes that Toma hears this. And I almost think he did. I think that I saw some comment where Toma was talking about wasn't too happy about it, but I think it did get to Toma. He said he's the most disrespected player on the field. But he's getting it done. I think his thing is his size. He just doesn't have the size to play. He's short. But hey, if he catches the ball and these other guys are struggling, you know, maybe he'll get a chance. I don't really expect him to. I think he's one of those guys that's doing good in camp, but you won't really hear anything about him during the season.
I still think Torrey Hunter is going to get
talent.
Torrey Hunter's getting a lot of snaps. The most snaps from the wide receivers. I think EQ is going to get a lot of snaps. And then where I think there's a little, where I'm not as sure about is with CJ Sanders and Kevin Stefferson.
Well, today, Miles Boykin's made some incredible catches. He was playing very well today.
Miles Boykin.
What did I say?
You had an S at the end.
Oh, okay, fine. Mr. Vocabulary Police. Oh. Miles Boykin had some very good catches in today's practice. And then as far as the freshmen, Brian Kelly pointed out a couple guys that he think could get, you know, are competing. It was Javon McKinley, Kevin Stefferson, and Chase Claypool. And he said there's something different about them. Like, they expect to play. And he said that's what they need. That's what you need to play as a freshman. You can't have that hesitancy and doubt in your mind. You have to expect to play. And that's what... Those are the freshmen that do get chances to play in their freshman year.
And he kind of talked about having confidence in that too. And I think that is an indicator of what's happening with Andrew Trimbetti, because he used that same wording as far as having confidence,
yeah,
knowing what he was doing. And I think we'll talk about Trimbetti more, but I think things are not looking good for him having a huge role this season.
Yeah. Talking about McKinley, he did have quite a few drops in the practice that the media saw the other day, but I think it's just being out there. I mean, you got to remember he's still a freshman, and it's a little bit different than playing in high school. I don't think it's something that he'll have an issue with.
Are you okay? So they have problems catching the ball, and Kevin Stefferson has the best hands on the team. So are you changing your mind as far as how much playing time Stefferson will get?
Not really, not yet. The one thing that with Claypool, which I saw in his high school film as well, and even now, I think he needs to learn how to use his size a little bit better. You don't see him make those leaping grabs. I mean, they're always like low in his gut, which obviously that's quarterback too, but he could be doing a lot more with his size and what he does. And I think that's the one thing he did in high school as well, if you watch some of his film. But I expect him to play. Stepherson, I think McKinley will get playing. I think they're all... I don't know. Stepherson has the advantage of being around in the spring, but I just don't think it'll be as much as what
Well, the reason I'm saying that is because of his good hands, and a lot of the receivers are struggling catching the ball right now.
Yeah.
All right, we'll come back to that here next week and see what the update is on that, see if there's any more news. Running backs. Let's start with the freshman. Tony Jones Jr. did get a lot more reps because of Dexter Williams and Josh Adams suffering from those minor injuries. And
well, the other day, Folston was limited. Adams didn't practice, or he didn't take any reps. And Dexter was in a red jersey. Red thing on his helmet, so they couldn't hit him. And so obviously Tony Jones got a lot of carries, and he looked pretty good.
And he's different from these other backs as far as we've talked about before, just being a power running back.
And he can move the pile. The one thing... Oh, he can also catch the ball.
He had the touchdown,
right? If you
watch
ND highlights, he does... there's a couple in there of him catching the ball, which is good to see from the running backs because we haven't really seen that from the others.
And didn't he catch the touchdown pass from
Zaire?
Yes,
he did. The one red zone touchdown that they got was to Tony Jones. The one thing that Brian Kelly did mention, which I wasn't really expecting him to say, was that he liked reserve a year for him.
I had that written down here, Randall.
But
I think Brian Kelly would like to redshirt everyone.
That's true. That's kind of how I looked at it, as obviously you'd want to redshirt all these guys, these freshmen, but some of them are going to play.
Well, and if you have...
With running back, I think Tony Jones is going to play. Because look, you have the three guys ahead of him were all dinged up in practice.
Well, and what I like about him is he's different from these other guys.
Yeah, I agree.
Dexter Williams, incredibly explosive, hits the hole hard and is gone.
And he was one of the, well, when Brian Kelly was asked which players kind of caught his eye and stepped up, and Dexter Williams and Tarion Folston were two of the guys that he mentioned. So I still think I'm going to be right. As
I still have
Folston
my doubts
being
about
the better
Folston
running back. You will be.
Well, the reason I have my
you
doubts.
You will change your mind after Texas.
The reason I have my doubts is because I don't think players get that much faster from a junior to a senior, especially when you have a serious knee injury. Adams showed top end speed. Dexter Williams, incredibly explosive.
But it's not all about speed.
I know it's not, but he also showed, I mean, he was running. Josh Adams.
If it'd be about speed, we would line up Will Fuller as a running back.
No, but Josh Adams showed good enough vision. That was as a true freshman, Randall.
That's where I don't think Josh Adams is his vision is as good. That's, I think, his weakness. He had one of the top lines in front of him last year, and against some of those teams, he struggled majorly. But then other teams, he had a couple good games.
He struggled when there wasn't a hole to run through, like any running back.
But the other guys were getting it done.
Randall.
That's his one. That was his weakness last year.
I can't wait. Because this is going to be an ongoing discussion.
Breakdown, if you take away the one long run, his yards per carry are terrible.
But that's with any running back. But Randall, with Tarion Folston, with Josh Adams, your 50-yard run with Folston is a 20-yard run.
Do you want a running back that averages 2 yards a carry? And you have to punt the ball. You might punt twice and get one touchdown, or do you want a running back, Folston, that'll take it down the field and get two touchdowns? It might take him longer, but he'll get two touchdowns.
That's not...
And you're not punting the ball. You're taking time off the clock.
When you have short runs like that, there's just more opportunity for things to go wrong. You have to go through more plays, like you said, more chances that there's going to be a negative play. We'll see. I can't wait. This is something I want to keep an eye on and track throughout the season.
I know there's a couple people involved in this discussion. So,
And I still think that Dexter Williams is going to be taking reps away from not Josh Adams, but Tarian Fulston. Okay, ready to talk about the tight ends and then the offensive line.
Yeah.
Tight ends. Brian Kelly was just asked about Nick Wisher, and he's talked before about how he put on a lot of weight, got stronger, and is a complete tight end now. And he just said one of the other things, he has much better body control, and he's able to handle a much higher volume. I guess last year at this time, he had skipped, I believe he said, two practices at this point in fall camp last year, and with just his stronger body, he hasn't missed a beat.
I actually think it's because of his mustache that he has.
I don't think I've seen his mustache.
Yeah, he's got a pretty impressive mustache. There's actually been an article written about it. I think the Notre Dame website had an article. Somebody from the staff wrote something about his mustache. Remember Aaron Rodgers' mustache?
Barely.
Oh, man, Ruben, you need to keep track of mustaches. Okay, check it out, and that might be the difference. So,
he better not shave it then. you should shave it halfway through just to test the theory. Alize Jones was out there again getting people hyped up, and I hope he can keep up his enthusiasm and his acceptance of his role on the team. It's not going to get easy as the season goes on. And then Jerm Smythe, I didn't write anything down about Jerm Smythe. Do you have anything about him?
No, I think he's just out there doing his thing, and it's kind of becoming the normal, I guess, which is a good sign.
On the offensive line, the right guard competition is now down between McGovern and Tristan Hodge. They really like Hodge's athleticism and ability to pull, but McGovern is more consistent. I do think they'll end up going with Hodge just so they have that more athletic offensive lineman that can pull and be more dynamic in the running attack. That's what I hope they do. I hope they go with Hodge, and then if it doesn't work out, if he makes too many mistakes, then they can just plug in McGovern, who is very solid, but just doesn't help out the offense or the running game quite that much.
Yeah, well, Hodge has been practicing at guard and center, and then obviously McGovern has been at guard, and I think he took some reps at tackle, and then Hunter has been taking reps at tackle. So it looks like he'll be the backup right tackle, and it's down to Colin and Hodge. It's kind of interesting. A lot of people thought that maybe freshman Tommy Kramer be competing there, but it seems like he's kind of out of the mix right now. But Brian Kelly still mentioned that he is light years ahead of what any freshman offensive lineman has been that he's coached there at Notre Dame.
And he still hasn't ruled out the possibility that he might play. I mean, if there'd be injuries.
But I'd say
they would be comfortable playing him if they needed to.
Yeah, I mean, he's got the size, the strength to do it now, to play now. But with these guys, I'd say they could maybe, you know, if there's no major injuries, that he could maybe get his red shirt, which, of course, that's what they want. So.
Yeah. All right, guys, we're finished with the offense. We're going to move over to the defense. But first, I just want to tell you about a special deal from FanDuel and Pro Football Focus. There's a banner over on our website with the logo over on the right side. And basically, you can get fantasy gold from profootballfocus.com, which is a $40 subscription value. You can get it for free if you sign up for FanDuel at the same time. So if you just click on the link, it'll take you over to Pro Football Focus, and they have three banners over there: All Access, Fantasy Gold, and DFS Pro. Scroll down a little bit to the gold center one, the Fantasy Gold, and you can click Free with FanDuel Deposit. Click on that, make a deposit into your FanDuel account, and you can get Pro Football Focus for free. It is an amazing tool. I've imported my ESPN team into Pro Football Focus, so you can import your fantasy team from Yahoo or there's a handful of different ones that you can use, and then it'll give you a breakdown of different players, and you can actually do mock drafts on Pro Football Focus as well. So it's really an incredible tool. Definitely give that a shot. All right. Are you ready to talk about the defense, Randall?
Let's do it. Sounds like they're doing pretty good according to the red zone defense and offense.
Let's say the defensive line for last. That's the most that I've got things on. Let's start with the back of the defense, the safeties. As far as freshmen, they are struggling. We've got Redfield there. The freshmen, DJ Morgan, Spencer Perry, Stud Still, which is suffering or has a hamstring injury right now, and Jalen Elliott. They are struggling, which this is one of the toughest positions on the defense. And it's definitely showing. However, some of the positives are Max Redfield. Brian Kelly was asked the follow-up question about, is Max making progress? He was asked that at the end of Culver, and then Kelly said, well, ask me again after three more practices, and I'll have an answer for you. Because if he plays great through that time, then yes, he's gotten better because consistency has been his problem. And Brian Kelly was raving. I mean, Max Redfield is playing consistent, playing at a high level. He's elevated his game. And so things are definitely looking up for Redfield, according to Brian Kelly. But the bad news is, behind Max Redfield, there are a lot of issues.
There is no behind. He said he is the guy that everyone expected to see out of high school, and he's playing at that elite level. I think I have more confidence in him just because this is what you would call his contract year. I mean, this is his last chance to try to get to the NFL, and he knows it. I think he has enough pride. I think that's maybe been his issue. He's expected things to be kind of handed to him because of his five-star ranking coming to Notre Dame, and it hasn't been like that. And I think because of his pride, he's going to go out there and prove that, you know, he should be an NFL player.
I would still like someone to step up to replace Drew Tranquil at safety. And, it doesn't look like that's going to happen unless they go to their dime package, which would have Drew Tranquil playing closer to the line of scrimmage and have a safety in there. So on the cornerbacks, the backup nickel, which is something we didn't have last year, is Julian Love. And Sean Crawford is doing a great job at nickel, and he's probably also going to be that other cornerback opposite from Cole Luke. And then when they do go into the nickel, Nick Coleman is going to be that third the cornerback then. And it sounds like they're very happy with where Nick Coleman is at. He has separated himself from the other guys. When Nick Watkins comes back, he will be competing at that spot, but I do expect it's going to be tough for Nick Watkins to come back and take that position back over, I think.
I agree. Before camp started, my prediction was that Nick Watkins would win that job, but I don't think he will. And with Coleman, if Coleman gets that, I think it'll be hard for Nick Watkins to try to get that. If you're wondering, you know, about Nick Coleman, you know, I don't think he played at all last year.
I believe he did play on special teams. I know he did play because he even played cornerback some towards the end of the season.
So you might wonder why you didn't hear about him as a freshman. You know, why all of a sudden he's showing up now. He did mainly play offense in high school. He played a lot of running back in high school. That's what most of his high school film is about. And so it's taken a little bit longer to adjust to the cornerback position in college. And so, you know, sometimes you wonder, well, why did this guy just show up all of a sudden, or, you know, where's he been? But that's part of the reason. Nick Coleman is a very good cornerback, and I definitely think he can win that third cornerback job.
And something, one of the differences Brian Kelly talked about was just his level of confidence to this year from last year, which that seems to be something Brian Kelly, he doesn't want someone out there that is timid, because basically it'll slow your reaction time down. If you're not sure what you're doing and doing it with confidence, you're going to react slowly.
Yeah.
And with that, I'm just going over cornerback notes here. Well, I guess, let's mention a few other guys. Brian Kelly did say that Devontae Vaughn, Julian Love, both those guys would be ready for Texas.
And Troy Pride was another guy he mentioned that is a guy that could play as a freshman. He's been making plays. He's another one of the guys that shows up quite a bit on the Watch ND highlight videos. So cornerback is I'm not too worried about cornerback, but maybe they'll have to. Yeah, I'm not sure what they're going to do at safety.
Well, I feel confident with Max Redfield. I don't love Drew Tranquil in coverage, but yeah, that's
hopefully
the
cornerbacks
question.
Can step up and help out the safeties.
Question mark for me. High praise for Cole Luke. Brian Kelly said that he's mastered his technique. He's always been one of the smartest defensive players, with decent speed, not great speed. But he's improved his technique and kind of combined it with his football intelligence, and he's just doing a great job. He's getting praise from Light at the practices that the media was at. Light was praising him for his hand placement and finding the ball. And I think he's geared to have maybe more of, numbers-wise, maybe more a sophomore-type season with the numbers.
And talking about Todd Light, the one thing that he has been emphasizing in these practices is to play through the mistakes. Like, even if you make a mistake, like, keep going and do what you're supposed to do. Don't worry about what just happened. Like, continue to try to make that play. And so that's something I think he has to keep working on with these young guys, because they are going to make mistakes. And so I think that's why he's really pushing that, you know, trying to help these guys, you know, play through that, because with freshmen, they're going to make some mistakes.
Yeah. At linebacker, we know who we're getting at Mike and at Sam, but at the Will, there was a question mark. Well, that's a little more clear now. Asmer Bilal is behind Coney and Martini. So I still think that Asmer will probably play this season. But
Brian Kelly is kind of, first he had all three, he listed all three as playing, then he was like, well, you know, really, Asmer's got to catch up with Coney and Martini. Then he's like, Coney's really caught my eye. So it looks like,
I think it's Coney.
Coney is going to get that job.
That's what I think too.
And maybe part of that is due to the fact that Martini will need to be the backup to those other positions.
Yeah.
Because, and with a couple of the practices, Josh Braz has really struggled at the mic, but they said he also made the play of the day in one of the practices, the media practice the other day. So there again, you have that inconsistency.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what keeps Brian Kelly awake at night, is just this inconsistency of the entire team.
High praise for Niles Morgan. He is in control of the defense, taking care of getting the guys in front of him, the front seven lined up. Less yelling from Brian Van Gorder at the first team than in previous years, so that's a positive. The players are able to get them lined up and get each other in position.
I still think that this defense is going to surprise everybody this year.
I am optimistic, but I can't just tell if it's, I can't tell if it's based in reality or if it's just hope.
There's, you might follow it on Twitter, but Old Takes Exposed is a Twitter handle you should follow. They keep track of all these tweets that people tweet out, and predictions and saying this and that, you know, so-and-so is going to be great. I think a lot of those tweets could be the ones that fans tweeted out last year about Brian Van Gorder and how he should be fired. I think a lot of those could be brought up this next season.
Yeah, but I still remember before he ever coached a game at Notre Dame, fans were hailing him as the greatest defensive mind in the world.
His first six games, Ryan Thielo had an altar to Brian Van Gorder.
Speaking of which, we need to see about getting Ryan on the podcast again.
Yes, we do.
Okay, let's talk about the defensive line. The biggest thing I'm excited about is Dalen Hayes. He's emerging as a guy that is more than just a pass rusher. He made some plays against the run, setting the edge, and I think he's gonna get a lot of playing time this season.
What did you think of Brian Kelly's comment about how he can drop into coverage?
Well, he first said that about Jay Hayes. When talking about Jay Hayes at 280 pounds, a big guy, really physical, great against the point of attack. Oh, great at the point of attack. And he's not bad on, and I quote, he's not bad on occasionally, an occasional drop player.
Everyone shudders when they hear that.
And then he said that Dylan Hayes is even more versatile in that, doing better at dropping in coverage.
And some of the things, as far as Dalen Hayes, he's taken first-team reps against Mike McGlinchey, which is arguably the number one offensive lineman.
Pro Football Focus, number one tackle.
Yes. And he was holding his own. He was doing a good job going up against McGlinchey. So some people might think McGlinchey isn't as good as what...
No, McGlinchey's a stud, but...
I agree.
And here's another reason. It's not just Trimbetti's lack of confidence that's going to keep him off the field. It's Dalen Hayes.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I expect to see a lot of him. And
Brian Kelly said that it would pretty much be... I mean, it depends who, what offense they're going against as far as Jay Hayes and Dalen Hayes. Maybe against more power run teams, we'd see more of Jay Hayes. And we will see Trimbetti probably on their, I think it's called their speed packages, where we might have both Dalen and Andrew rushing from different sides. So it's not like Andrew won't play. It's just he won't play ahead of Dalen Hayes.
It's his confidence, and Brian Kelly said he's his harshest critic, or he is his own.
And I thought he played really, I thought he played great against Ohio State. I didn't see a whole lot of him throughout the season, and against Ohio State, I thought he
when
played.
When he was in there, he played good.
I thought, yeah.
I'm not sure what, maybe he's a little bit of a perfectionist and just trying to, I guess going from starting the majority of the games his freshman season, and then not playing as much last year, maybe that hurt his confidence a little bit.
Yeah.
But I think it'll come back. Maybe it'll take a little bit, but I think he'll be fine. I think he'll definitely contribute quite a bit this fall.
Isaac Rochelle continues to impress, and Brian Kelly even said that, you know, his quickness is better. And I expect a lot of that just to do because he's been able to stay healthy and finish the workouts without having to take it easy because of his back. Then on the interior defensive line, let's start with Jerry Tillery.
Well, you mentioned Rochelle and Tillery. Those are two guys on defense that caught Brian Kelly's eye that have stepped up their game and have been playing better. Those are the two guys on defense that have had Brian Kelly watching, Tillery and Rochelle, which is good to hear from Tillery because we were a little bit worried after the spring because it seemed like he wasn't too motivated. But it is the fall now. Texas is coming up, and I think he's stepped up his game. And it looks like they have more of a rotation in that interior. I mean, they've got, you know, Deron Jones, Tillery, Daniel Cage is doing good, and Pete Makwa has been stepping up, and you see his name a little more. I know Irish Don and Bill Calpe were talking about it. They were excited about that, so...
And that's what we would have seen Mikey Treadway in that mix too if he wouldn't have been injured. I agree. I'm very excited to hear that about Jerry Tillery because he was a very important part last year, and it was disappointing to hear how things were going this spring, but it sounds like that's turning up and he's trending in the right direction. Deron Jones, so 20-25 snaps. I don't know what exactly was said, but
Brian Kelly mentioned
it,
last week's press conference,
yeah,
that he expected 30 snaps from Cage and 30 snaps from Deron.
Was it 30?
Yeah. And Deron Jones just said, well, that's what he did in the spring. He expects, when he's still recovering from his injury, he expects a lot more.
And then Brian Kelly said he is going through a little ankle sprain right now, but just looking at, from their analytics, seeing how hard he's been going, he said he's been pretty impressed. And it was probably said to motivate Deron because I was thinking it was 20-25, but maybe it was 30. But I hope that he can take more than 30 snaps a game.
Yeah.
Are you sure it was 30 and not 20-25?
Yeah, I know it was 30 because I'm putting the two together, they both took 30 snaps. That's 60 snaps. You're still going to have some, especially with some of these offenses we're going to play, there's going to be more than 60 defense. The defense is going to be out on the field more than 60 snaps.
Yeah.
And so I was trying to figure out what they're going to do. If they can't get enough snaps with two guys.
Yeah.
But it could easily have been done to motivate Jon Jones. And
oh, I think it worked.
Yeah, there was a video floating around. Well, I saw it on Instagram today, but the robotic tackling dummies that they have. Jon Jones, one of the guys that tackled it, and then he took it down, sat on top of it, and was showboating a little bit, but then he finally got off and let it go on its way. Those things stand up by themselves.
It's weird. They move quicker than I'd think they could.
Yeah,
they freaked without out. without tipping over.
The one time they freaked out Zaire a little bit because they had him coming at the court at Zaire, and all of a sudden he knew he had to move because it was coming right at him. So, but they do show up. They do show up on the field under their own power. So, it's kind of a cool idea.
All right, Randall. I think that's all we've got for today's podcast. Anything else you can think of?
I don't think so. I will mention Jay Hayes. Brian Kelly said that Luatu is glad that Jay Hayes isn't on the scout team anymore. So Hayes was it was no fun going up against Hayes. And I guess Luatu was one of the guys that had to go against him quite a bit. So that's a good sign.
We haven't heard anything from Luatu. At least not much mention.
No. You haven't heard, we've heard some about Nick Wisher, but you haven't heard a whole lot from the tight ends.
I think I've heard more about Alize Jones being upbeat on the sideline than I have about the other guys.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right, thank you guys for listening. Do follow us on Twitter, at Irish Sports Talk, for updates and new podcast episodes and breaking news. And give us a follow on Facebook as well, if that's where you spend most of your time. So thank you guys for listening. Check back again in a day or two for another Countdown to Kickoff mini episode and next week for a regular Monday podcast. Thank you for listening, and go Irish.
Go Irish.